Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, over the years, my wife and I have done a number of books, and we've been asked on various occasions if we would please record them so that folks who are traveling can listen to them instead of trying to wait for a quiet moment when they can read it. So, from time to time, I try and oblige, and of all the books that we've done, the one that has sold the most copies, I think, at least last time I checked, is titled Weathering the Storms. And the scripture on the cover is one that I hope will permeate your heart and mind as you hear these meditations from God's Word. The title of the book, again, is Weathering the Storms, and the scripture on the cover is Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. This book is dedicated to my son Paul, and the dedication reads as follows, and I hope you who are listening will understand that this is even more true all these years later than it was back when I first penned these words. I will always be grateful to God for the privilege of being your father. Your suffering has taught me more than any school. Your courage has strengthened mine. Your compassion for the weak and your joy in the midst of pain have been a witness to the grace of our Lord. I'm glad you are my son. I'm even more grateful to call you my brother in Christ. I love you and thank God continually for you. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Many people get married anticipating that everything will go well, only to be terribly disappointed to discover that life is hard. The reason we take vows when we get married is because of the hard parts. We promise to stay together for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Then we act as if none of the negative things will ever happen to us. For us, it will always be for better, for richer, and in health. But life has a way of bringing the unexpected, and difficult and painful things begin to happen. We plan wonderful things for our future. Of course, we're going to have children, and they're going to come along at the right time. But somehow, things don't go as planned. I knew a couple who got married and had a baby 9 months and 2 days after the wedding. This wasn't their plan. While children are a gift from the Lord, it's nice to have a little time to get to know each other first. You may be one of the 20% of couples who experiences infertility and can't have children. If you want to have children, this is a brutal storm. There are also those of us who are blessed to have children right when we planned it. But the child born to us wasn't what we had imagined. Our first child was born with spina bifida and has had now over 40 surgeries. Many people are not prepared for the unexpected stress chronic medical problems bring to their relationship. Over 80% of couples who have a child with a serious birth defect divorce. They decide, I can't handle this. This isn't what I signed up for. But this is what we signed up for. We said for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Over and over, as I counsel various couples about the difficulties in their marriage and family life, it becomes evident that the reason they're in chaos is not just because storms came, but because storms came and exposed the fact that they had not been doing what God says to do. When the storms hit, you find out what your house is made of. We live in the mountains of East Tennessee, and we get some high winds. When the storms come, we're grateful for the 2x6 construction used to build our home instead of the usual 2x4 frame. We appreciate the builder and his level of competence. We thank God for the designer and his blueprints. We've lived in New England and in the Deep South. We've never been so hot as we were on a steamy day in July in New England. And we've never been so cold as during an ice storm in the Deep South. Why? The houses in New England were built to withstand snowstorms, and because it's seldom hot, very few houses where we lived were air-conditioned. In the Deep South, houses are constructed to handle heat, but the heating systems for the usually mild winters are not built to handle blizzard conditions or ice storms. People build houses based on the environment. When the storms come, what you've been building is exposed, for better or for worse. During the storms, areas where we have not been obedient to the Lord are exposed in our lives. Those areas of vulnerability and weakness in which we have not been doing what God says to do suddenly become apparent. The irony, however, is that when these areas get exposed, most of us try to solve the problem by doing something else that is disobedient to God. The excuse becomes, well, I have to do this now because I have a real problem now, and this is the best solution. Never mind the fact that the plan involves further disobedience to God's word. People often patch up their houses that way too. But when the next storm hits, the house isn't just damaged. Because of its patched and weakened condition, it's often destroyed. My question is, if you got into the mess you're in by not doing what God says, why would you try to improve your situation by disobeying what God says again? If you truly know God, the only rational course is to obey Him. If the builder who built your house needed to follow the designer's plan, how much more important is it for us to obey the Creator of marriage and the family when He gives us His plan? When you build, you don't just start rounding up building materials and then start hammering. You study the blueprint. In the case of your marriage, not only is there a plan, the architect is God. God invented marriage and family. We didn't begin as animals in the Garden of Eden, discovering each other, noticing similarities, and deciding to pool talents and genes. Instead, God designed man and woman for each other and planned marriage to be a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. The reason so many marriages aren't joyful and fulfilling is because people aren't following the God-ordained plan. If you don't follow the plan, the parts don't fit. It just doesn't work. But this is not the fault of the designer. The builder must carefully follow the blueprint. Oftentimes in marriage, things fall apart and end prematurely because people don't know their roles. They've never learned what God says about the plan we're supposed to follow. If we're going to do it God's way, we have to study and learn God's way. There is a plan. Every life, every marriage will be challenged by storms. Jesus says the difference between the house that stands and the house that falls is the foundation. guess what? The foundation is foundational. While this is obvious, how many people do you know who live their lives as if it were not so? Many people are totally consumed with external appearances and end up building on shifting sand. They never dig down to establish the things that are most important. As I've supervised the construction of various buildings, I've been repeatedly disappointed to see how much of the cost goes into places people will never see. A huge chunk of the budget is spent before the aesthetic beauty has begun. Lots of dirt has to be moved, trenches dug, pipe laid, concrete poured, and other unglamorous labors accomplished before the project becomes exciting and satisfying. We must go down to the rock and put in steel and concrete to make the building solid because we want it to last. So much effort is required for things that nobody will ever see, so that what people do see will remain rock solid. It can't be shaken when the storms of life come. It's built to withstand storms. Therefore, it's worth the investment. It's pretty sad to watch news footage of multi-million-dollar mansions in California sliding down the hills. It's absolutely amazing to watch somebody's $3 million home washing into the ocean. What was it anchored to? They apparently anchored it to dirt, not rock. They didn't go down to a solid foundation. They built on that spot, even though no solid ground was available. It was such a beautiful view. This year. That same thing happened on Cape Cod. Generations back, people built their main dwellings inland and put little shanties on the beach. They called them camps. Even wealthy people built only rustic shanties on the beach. The reason was because they knew that eventually a big enough storm would come along and wash their beach house away. By the 1980s, young urban professionals were making fortunes and building huge homes on the Cape Cod beaches. Now, when the storms come and take these mansions away, the federal government steps in to pay to rebuild. Wealthy people feel free to build mansions because they have federal insurance money with which to gamble. It's not really a gamble, however. It's a sure thing that storms are coming. Yet our tax dollars are used to rebuild on the same site where disaster is guaranteed. For 2,000 years, it's been a well-known fact that if you build on the sand, the storms will eventually take your house away. In our culture, we're not only building on sand with costly construction materials, we're also building on sand with our lives, our marriages, and our families. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, Jesus says, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. We need to build on rock, and we must choose the high ground. Don't go inviting trouble. Understand that there are certain areas where it is not smart to build. There are certain things in your life that you know don't belong. Choose the high ground. Choose the areas that are less vulnerable to storms and the floods that follow. If you have a problem with alcohol, don't hang out in bars. If you have a problem with a wandering eye, don't buy magazines or view recordings that feed that lust. Choose your friends carefully. Be careful who you have business lunches with and under what circumstances. Sin is waiting at the door. Be honest with yourself about your vulnerabilities. The person who is most susceptible to sin is the person who denies that it could happen to him. I don't want to do anything to give anybody, especially my wife, any reason to even wonder if there might be a problem. I want to make deposits in our trust account. I want to build trust into my most important relationship. I don't want to make withdrawals. Change your line of work if necessary to protect your marriage. If you want to make your marriage work, you can make the necessary adjustments. It's better to lose your business than to lose your soul. Jesus says it isn't just the one who hears his word that is building on the rock, but the one who hears his word and puts it into practice. Building on the rock always involves obedience to God's word. You will never get out of a mess by disobedience. You'll just get into another mess. If you refuse to follow God's principles, you will absolutely make matters worse. If you want to build your marriage on the rock, it begins with obedience to God's word. This is where you start. The storms will come, and if you've built in obedience, you will weather any storm. God is the one who will see you through. God has already committed himself to seeing you through. God always keeps his promises. Susan and I have seen God keep his promises in our lives through all kinds of storms. Sometimes our obedience has looked like insanity to other people, but we had to decide to obey God anyway. He is the only one we can always trust to see us through. Other people may not be around when the storms come. God will always be there for us. Being obedient to God is not a formula to prevent us from going through hard times. We will all go through hard times, whether we're obedient or not. But when we are obedient, we have God's promises to see us through. God allows us to have rainy days, not only because rain makes the plants grow, but also because it sure is nice when the sun comes out after the rain. God also lets us have periods of drought so that we will appreciate the rainy days. God knows what we need, and he has promised that if we will do what he says, he will see us through. Materials also make a major difference. And we're not talking material things. In 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15, we read, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." The Apostle Paul reminds us here that whether we build using gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, or straw, our work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. What is he talking about? Is he suggesting that if you want to do well in the day of difficulty, you need to amass gold, silver, and costly stones? Jesus says that you're a very foolish person if you try to amass things that will perish. We know that wood, hay, and straw perish rapidly in a fire or a storm, but we assume that gold, silver, and costly stones will survive. Actually, all these things will perish. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal." What do moths eat? Clothes and fabrics that are not in use. What about rust? Metal is most prone to rust when it's not being used. The expression, "I'd rather burn out than rust out," speaks of a desire to be put to use. And what do thieves break in and steal? Thieves break in and steal luxuries. When was the last time you heard of a thief stealing sheets or blankets or groceries? Thieves are after the high-ticket items. They steal the stuff we didn't really need to begin with, generally the gold, silver, and precious stones. If we invest our lives in stuff we don't need, instead of investing our lives in meeting the needs of others, we're setting ourselves up for disaster. So what materials make the difference? What is Paul talking about back in 1 Corinthians 3? We need to build a home that is constructed with honesty, faith, affection, diligence, honor, and the other virtues that grow out of a heart yielded to God. Susan was diligent to invest time every night at bedtime with our kids. I had devotions with them when I was at home, but whether I was at home or not, Susan made sure they had time with their parents. This investment, which was costly, has paid off with huge dividends. Our boys have confided in us even through their high school and college years. And when my boys see me, they still give me a hug and a kiss. And these are manly guys. But they're absolutely relaxed and secure in their affection for their dad and their mom. So what are you building in your relationships right now? Are you spending the time required to show your spouse, I love you more than I love my job, and even more than I love myself? Most of us convey to our mate in hundreds of ways, after me, darling, you are number one. That's the sad truth. We need to examine our hearts and behave in a way that communicates honestly. I want you to know that after Jesus, you're number one. I put your interests ahead of my own. One of the main ways a married person shows love for Jesus is in showing love for their spouse. Do you want to do something that Jesus will really appreciate? Be good to your spouse. Treat them right. Show them you would rather meet their needs than yours. If you will work on this, then when the storms hit, your home will stand firm because there's a foundation. You've been doing what God says. Well, folks, that's the first chapter of Weathering the Storms. I hope that it spoke to your heart. Upcoming chapters include Surviving Your Worst Nightmare. That's tomorrow. Doesn't that sound inviting? But Surviving Your Worst Nightmare, then Godly Living. Then the question, Jesus, why are you sleeping? The next is Growing Stronger in the Storms. Blessing Others in the Storms. A chapter titled Climate Control. And then Maintenance and Pest Control. This has been the book that most folks have ordered over the years, the largest number. I have a doctor friend in Atlanta who has ordered boxes of these books to put in his waiting area so that people, he said, people keep walking off with them. That's good. I'm glad it speaks to people's heart. And so he gives them away, gives them to his patients and to their families, because everybody knows folks who are going through a storm. If you want to get a copy, you can go to our website, and we have copies available right there for you. In fact, we'd love to hear from you. So don't hesitate to check out the other books while you're there. But the one we're doing right now is Weathering the Storms. We did this book originally in the year 2000. Can you believe it? And we're still having tons of requests for this book. This is the one when my friend in Chattanooga was battling cancer. She ordered copies of these to give to her family and to give to her friends who were going through cancer. She's given away large quantities as well. You may find that this book will be the right thing for you to use to share your faith with someone you know who's going through a storm right now. This originally grew out of a marriage conference my wife and I did for a church in Raleigh, North Carolina. But in the years since, God has used it to touch many lives. I hope it'll touch yours and that you'll be listening in the days to come as we continue in this series. Again, if you missed part of it, you can get the whole thing online by going to our website. And you can also get the book. God bless you. Be sure and tune in next time.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit WVR.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit WVR.org today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.